It's time for Field Notes, brought to you by the Montana Natural History Center. In the spring, it's hard not to notice wildflowers and the insects that pollinate them. The interrelationship of plants and pollinators is well known. Plants attract pollinators with rewards of nectar, and as those rewards are collected from multiple flowers, pollen is exchanged and flowers are fertilized. On the whole, both sides of these relationships benefit, and in fact, without pollinators, many species of plants humans rely on for food would be extinct or would simply never have evolved. But even in the mutually beneficial and seemingly straightforward interplay of pollinators and plants, things don't always go smoothly. This was brought home to me the other day when I was looking at western white trilliums out in the Thompson Falls area. My hiking companion noticed that one of the flowers had a dead bee on it. When we investigated further, we spotted a pale off-white spider under one of the flower petals. We found another spider of the same kind a ways up the trail. They were female flower crab spiders, and they're another strand in the food web involving these forest plants. Flower crab spiders are wait and grab predators that feed on bees, flies, moss, and other pollinating insects. The female spider will sit on a flower with her forelegs outstretched, waiting to catch any insects that come to take advantage of the nectar reward the flower is offering. These spiders are capable of changing their color to blend in with the flower they're hunting on, so that the bees approach unaware of any danger. Some species of flower crab spiders emulate the markings that the flowers use to guide pollinators to their rewards, drawing their prey in even more effectively. When a bee comes within range, the spider grabs it with her front legs and paralyzes it with a venomous bite, then eats it over the course of the next several hours. Flower crab spiders are dependent on the flowers they choose to inhabit to attract their prey. If a spider chooses a poor flower with little reward to offer pollinators, she'll have fewer opportunities to feed. The more and better a spider eats during the spring and summer, the more eggs she'll be able to lay near the end of her life, and the more likely that those eggs will develop into spiderlings that will survive the winter. It's not certain whether bees avoid flowers harboring these spiders. Studies have gotten conflicting results. Some say that bees learn to avoid flower patches that are infested with spiders. Others say that the lifetime risk of predation for any individual bee is low enough that the effort of avoiding the spiders isn't worth the energy it takes to do so. Regardless of the answer to that question, seeing the relationship between predator and prey on a scale as small as a single trillion flower is a potent reminder that ecosystems are complex and interwoven tapestries. Everything is dependent on everything else, and no thread can be removed without the threat of unraveling the whole. I'm Sarah Mintz for Field Notes, brought to you by the Montana Master Naturalist class and the Montana Natural History Center. To find out more about upcoming nature education events and programs, call 327-0405 or visit their website at www.montananaturalist.org.